The word today is lamb. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Today we will trace the history of the phrase Lamb of God. That history starts with the children of Israel when they were in captivity in Egypt. Here from our archives is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Lamb.
In the opening chapters of the Bible, we are told a terrific story about how God worked through Moses to have Pharaoh let the people of God go from their captivity in Egypt and begin to cross the Sinai Peninsula on their way to the Promised Land. And during that time was the occasion of the first celebration of the Passover. And you've probably heard that word. You know, the Jewish people continue to celebrate that to this day as a reminder of how God protected them and delivered them from the captivity in Egypt. Now, I'd like to take you back a little bit to those plagues, those terrible things that God sent upon the people of Egypt because Pharaoh would not let the people go. He kept hardening his heart. And so Moses came before Pharaoh, and God had given him some extraordinary powers. And he said, you go and you tell Pharaoh, I want my people to be let free so that they can go to the Promised Land, so that they can worship me the way they want to worship me. And Pharaoh, of course, refused. And so Moses had a walking stick. We can probably picture it as a very long stick. And he used it for walking that rough terrain. And he threw the stick down, and the stick turned into a snake. Now, interestingly enough, Pharaoh called his magicians, and they did the same thing. The only difference, slightly different, was that the snake that Moses had produced ate up all the other snakes that were around. And so there was, even then, something slightly different about it. The next plague was that the Nile River and all its tributaries were turned into blood. Now, you can imagine just a phenomenal thing that was. I suppose the only drinking water they had left around there would be any artesian wells or something. But just think of the spectacular nature of that and the odor of that all of those rivers there would be turned to blood. Now, that should have said something to Pharaoh, but no, he hardened his heart again. The next plague was frogs. Now, I'll tell you, frogs, I grew up in Iowa, and we lived in a small town, and there was certain seasons where frogs would be everywhere. And I can just imagine just the whole countryside filled with frogs. As a matter of fact, as you read this in the early chapters of the Bible, you will see that when finally that plague was over, they had piles of dead frogs sitting around, just scraped together and shoveled together. There were so many of them, and yet Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people of God go. He would not free them from their captivity. Now, the next plague the Bible tells us about was that of gnats. Just imagine, occasionally when you're starting to play in the spring, when you go on to certain golf courses that have a lot of shrubbery and the mosquitoes are very bad and so on, you will run into a cloud of gnats. Just that flying all over, gnats everywhere. By the way, this was the first thing of the plagues that the magicians could not do. They could not duplicate that. And so once again, Pharaoh, though, hardened his heart. He would not let the people go. And so what followed then were flies. Oh, my, flies. And at certain times, usually before rain, flies will bite. And you can just imagine the annoyance of flies everywhere. The Bible tells us in the next plague that the animals began to die. Just picture that, all over the place, animals dropping dead and carcasses lying around. Once again, Pharaoh was a stubborn person. He didn't want all this free labor that he had there. He didn't want all that disappearing. And so the next plague comes, and this is sores. Now, this is the first one that actually got physical, so to speak. You can just imagine your body covered with boils, let's say, and little sores everywhere. How irritable. You feel like scratching, and it's just hard to believe that all these plagues did not soften the heart of Pharaoh. That was followed by hail and thunder and rain. God said he was going to destroy the crops. The hail, of course, knocked down all the wheat and rye and the different products that were growing in the fields. And once again, Pharaoh remained stubborn and hard-hearted. As a matter of fact, I think you could say that his heart increased in hardness after each one of these things. He became more and more stubborn. The next plague was locusts, the grasshoppers, and God, in effect, said, now, the grain that wasn't ruined when it was knocked down out in the fields by the hail is going to now be eaten up by the locusts, and the locusts simply went across the country and stripped it bare of all the product and all the grains, just positively amazing. Once again, Pharaoh said, no, I won't let the people go. And that was followed then by darkness. Can you imagine the trauma of that when the sun didn't come up? Darkness, God hid the sun, and so it was just like night all the time. Did Pharaoh soften up? No, his heart continued to harden. And so finally God said, okay, that's that. That's enough. I am going to send a plague upon the people of Egypt that'll be so thoroughly disgusting and so thoroughly harmful to them that they will beg you to leave. They will tell you to leave and go. And that plague is where this festival of the Passover occurred. God said, you tell Pharaoh that every oldest son, the firstborn, the oldest son in every home of the Egyptians is going to drop dead tonight. They are going to die. And to protect my people, the people of God, to protect the people of Israel, they need to do what I tell them specifically to do, and that is to take a lamb and prepare a meal. And with the blood of that lamb, they are to mark the doorposts. They are to mark the lintel and the doorposts of their homes, that when the angel of death flies over, the angel will see the blood markings on the doorposts and will know here lives a family of the Israelites, and the angel of death will pass over. That's where this festival gets its name, the Passover festival. The angel of death will pass over and will not kill or take the life of the firstborn in that home. And so the people prepared the lamb. They had their meal. They took the blood from the lamb. It says they were to use hyssop, which was a little branch, kind of a hairy branch. It would make an excellent little paintbrush. And they would take that and spread the blood, the droppings of the blood, on the lintel and on the doorposts. And the angel of death came. The firstborn of every home in Egypt died. And Pharaoh and the people were in such mourning and in such despair that they begged the people of Israel to go, and they prepared to leave. They were in a hurry, and this is why they baked their bread without yeast. They took it with them, but no yeast. They didn't want it to rise right away, and so it turned into sort of like crackers. And that's why to this day, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, which is kind of a remembrance going back to this time, that the Lord, on the day that he met with his disciples before he was betrayed by Judas, he was eating a Passover meal with them, and he said, now I'm going to add something new to this. I'm going to put myself into this for you as a spiritual food. From now on, when you eat this bread and drink this wine, there will be a new element there. I am going to be there personally, and my body and my blood will also be given to you for your spiritual feeding and for your spiritual forgiveness and spiritual strengthening. And so when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we celebrate the fact that Christ is present and he is forgiving us and strengthening us. And that's why to this day we use those little wafers, those little tiny unleavened bread, kind of like a little cracker. That's in remembrance of that going all the way back to that first Passover. And so you have this Lamb of God phrase, which you see in the Bible. You can look it up in Exodus 12, verse 21. Actually, there are all kind of references throughout the Bible. When John the Baptist saw Jesus walking by, when he was speaking to his followers, he said, "Follow him, follow him. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world," referring to Jesus Christ and the reason for which he had taken on human nature, born of the Virgin Mary. And so you have all of these things referring back to that first Passover meal when the angel of death passed over the homes of the Israelites. Now, at that point, Pharaoh was in such despair and grief that he said, okay, get out, take the people of God and go worship him the way you want to as you're out on the desert and so on. You remember that even then, as you read on in the account, you remember that even then, after they had left, Pharaoh changed his mind again and sent his charioteers after them to try and bring them back again. And that was when the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea occurred, and Pharaoh thought, well, my people can go across too, which they tried, and God brought the waters back, and they were all drowned, and Pharaoh's army was drowned. If you could go to the bottom of that body of water today and find the relics from 2,000 years ago, the chariots would be buried down there in all the muck and mud covered by 2,000 years of silt and so on. But that's where this happened. So I hope you enjoy reading and reviewing the history of God delivering his people.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's The Word today. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.